online di Radio Melayu Perth.online dan juga kita bersiaran menerusi Facebook Live pada waktu ini ya, jam menunjukkan 9.08 minit malam. Kami di Perth sekarang ini dan di sebelah saya pada sekarang ini adalah seorang penulis ya, travel writer, penduduk tempatan di sini yang telah sebelum ini kita telah sebelum ini menemubual di Konti Radio Melayu Perth yang pernah menjadi duta ataupun mendapat tugasan daripada Tourism Malaysia untuk menulis tentang tempat lawatan ataupun tarikan-tarikan di Malaysia, dan pada hari ini kita masih bertuahlah kerana penulis kembara ini iaitu Chris Perry sudi datang sekali lagi untuk sama-sama berkongsi pengalaman beliau lah, pengalaman beliau dalam dunia travel ni dan penulisan-penulisan beliau. Okay, I would like to welcome Chris Perry. Welcome.
Hello.
Again to the show.
How are you?
Good, very well. The weather is not that you know, pleasant right now.
Weather's awful. I was on the freeway coming here and there were cars going past me like boats.
Aku planning. Yeah, pada pendengar yang sedang memandu berada di Perth ya, careful on the road, berhati-hati jalan raya because the rain is really heavy this couple of days, especially today. And good to have you back here. Yeah, thanks for your time.
The last time we spoke, I was under a lot of pressure because I think there were 3 people in the studio. Yourself and 2 other people asking me questions.
Yes.
So I feel a bit more relaxed tonight.
Tonight is very relaxed.
Taking it from you.
yeah, you're good. Nice setting. And today we are going to talk about a bit of Chris Perry's experience traveling the region, and especially during winter time, right? And most people want to escape the winter, you know.
It's time to fight back.
It's time to fight back.
Fight back against
the winter. So what is it will be the solution? How do we fight back the winter?
Well, please. I think we've either got to head overseas.
Yes.
Or find something else remarkable in this remarkable state of ours of Western Australia.
Yep.
So I think, interestingly, last time we spoke, we talked about a lot of my destinations, which were Malaysian.
Right.
I think you got a lot of good feedback that said, yeah, it was really interesting what we talked about.
Yep.
But it would be good to hear from some other destinations that aren't Malaysian.
Yeah.
So what I did, you know, when we thought about coming in tonight, I thought about what I've been doing over the last month.
Yep.
And I've been to 2 remarkable destinations overseas, and there's also another one within Western Australia, so I thought we'd cover those.
Okay, yeah. Dua destinasi utama ya di luar negara yang Chris telah pergi dan boleh berkongsi pengalaman, dan satu destinasi di tempatan di tak jauh daripada Perth dalam Western Australia ni, yang mana kita akan tunjuk gambarnya sebentar lagi. Chris, go ahead with your first destination overseas. Where have you been?
Alright, let's escape the darkness and the cold and the wind and the rain of Perth and hop on a plane for less than 4 hours tomorrow morning and find ourselves just after lunchtime in Bali.
Okay, Bali. Oh, wonderful. Yep. Bali, yeah.
The most beautiful island in the world.
Yep.
And has the newest, most incredible resort that I've been to in a very long time.
Yep.
Remarkable architecture, only bettered by the remarkable service that they have there. So this resort is the Apurva Kempinski.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Kempinski is one of the oldest resort chains in the world.
Yep.
This is the first resort that they've built in Bali. Mm-hmm. So for anyone that knows Bali, it's actually in the Nusa Dua part.
Yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know Bali, the Nusa Dua part is sort of at the bottom end of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often described as a little bit like Singapore.
Right.
It's a lot sort of cleaner and fresh and bright resorts, good clean shopping, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
You don't get the busyness on the beaches like you do around Kuta. Nusa Dua is a lot more, I guess, sort of prestigious as well. You do spend a bit of money to stay there.
Yeah.
Now the Kempinski, as the newest kid on the block, as a resort, absolutely spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got around about 475 rooms.
Yep.
And at least 60% of those rooms, you get your own private pool, a private plunge pool.
Okay, well.
So you'd be hard-pressed to find another resort anywhere in Indonesia, let alone throughout Southeast Asia, that would probably be able to beat that.
Yeah.
60% of rooms, you get your own private pool. On top of that, there are kids' pools with the water slides. There's a 60-metre main lagoon pool for you to go and swim at as well.
Uh-huh.
There are other rooms that have access to other lagoons, smaller pools as well.
Yep.
So the amount of pools they have in that resort is exactly what most of us want when we go to a resort.
Yeah.
Not that we do a lot of swimming. We say we're going to go for a swim.
Yeah.
But we don't. We just lie around in the water and relax, and that's what it's all about. The other remarkable thing about this resort is the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
The building is designed to reflect the Balinese rice terraces.
Yeah.
That sort of cascade down a hill.
Right.
And looks completely beautiful, utterly gorgeous. The middle of the main building at night lights up and becomes a golden staircase. And that reflects the mother temple of Bali. Basaki Temple sits on the slopes of Mount Agung.
Ah, okay, yep.
And it's a beautiful staircase, and I think over the years will be used by a lot of people for functions and weddings and things like that. And they've just finished. When I was there a few weeks ago, they hadn't completed it. The most incredible chapel, which is right on the beach.
Right.
Beautiful curves and wood and huge windows that open out onto the beach and the ocean beyond. Just a completely spectacular resort.
Right.
The other thing which they are doing is providing some very good cultural experiences mm-hmm. for guests.
Yeah.
So if you haven't experienced Bali, you've got the opportunity to go to a great resort and experience luxury and relax, as you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are experiences where they will teach you how to do grass weaving, and children can do things that you wouldn't expect at normal kids' clubs. So rather than just watch videos, they will do craft, they will learn how to do traditional and cultural experiences that the Balinese hold very precious to their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they're making a great effort not only to provide a great sense of luxury, but to provide a cultural experience which is valued, and you go away having learnt something from your time at this amazing resort.
Right, right. So this Arpurva Kempinski, yes? So how long you actually stayed there?
I was there for 3 days.
3 days, yep.
So it was going through at that time what was known as a soft opening.
Right.
So there were still a few restaurants, and like I said, the chapel still to be completed.
Yeah.
They've got a remarkable aquarium, which by now will have been completed. Now, this aquarium, you actually walk down underground, and you can walk around the aquarium, but it's also a restaurant as well. So you can sit there and watch the fish and everything else that they've got in there. While you have your dinner. So it's ready to go. I was actually really amazed with, even though it was described as a soft opening, the gardens, everything that's there is fully developed. And I did ask the question about that because it was also developed. You know, you weren't walking around with lawn that was still trying to grow and garden beds with no plants.
Yeah.
It's all lush and beautiful, and palm trees have all settled into place.
Yeah.
And they made the very conscious decision to build those gardens at the same time as they were constructing the buildings.
Right.
So that the gardens have got an established look when they open for
guests. As if it has been there for a while. Yeah. And
The resort looks as if it's 3 to 4 years old. It looks like a brand new resort, but it looks established and developed. And the staff are also proud of that. You know, you can see as well that they're proud walking around, and the Kempinski is very famous for what's known as the ladies in red. They have concierge ladies who will make sure that your experience is completely perfect.
Yep.
And my son Tom
was
being used as a bit of a test case for many of the staff to see how he would enjoy his experience there. So the ladies in red were very keen to make sure that he had good cultural experiences.
Yep.
And the meals that were available in the restaurants, mm-hmm. that there was good variety for him to try. Now, Tom is a bit of a burger boy, likes his burger and chips. Pretty okay. hard to try and get him something cultural when you're overseas, something traditional.
Okay, yeah.
Like most children might get a little bit suspicious.
Yes.
But they were very good. The ladies in red had him having a nasi lemak, nasi goreng within the first or second night.
Oh, so, okay. That's amazing.
They encouraged him and nurtured him and he had a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but para pendengar, yeah, Chris Perry... apabila beliau berjalan ya bersiar-siar ke luar negara ya bawa anak how old is your boy?
9
ya 9 tahun kerana salah satu tugasan bawa anak-anak ni adalah untuk mendapat pandangan dari sudut kanak-kanak jadi bukan setakat tempat tu percutian sesuai untuk dewasa tapi untuk kanak-kanak jadi pandangan anak beliau juga diambil kira ya so the feedback from your from Tom is equally important.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean the feedback from Tom, particularly with that experience, was all about what the resort is like for a child.
Yes.
As a soft opening, they're getting a lot of media interests and journalists and other people coming by to have a look at the resort, but they haven't had a lot of children stay with them yet.
Yep.
The other thing which is wonderful about the resort is its close proximity to Bali Collection, which is the big shopping centre in Nusa Dua.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a 5-minute shuttle ride. If you do want to try a few of the different restaurants and some really good shopping without the hassle that you get in areas like Kuta. So, you know, if you do want to break out of the resort and go and do a bit of shopping somewhere else, then Bali Collection is very close by.
Mhm. Menarik itu ya. Ini adalah satu destinasi alternatif lah ya kepada para pendengar yang mungkin dah biasa cuti-cuti di Malaysia, Singapura ya. Di Bali salah satu tempat yang ini tempat baru, resort yang baru Apurva Kempinski Bali. Bolehlah check out ya. How do you spell it? APURVA Kempinski ya. KEMPINSKI. Itulah dia salah tempat yang telah Chris Perry melawat dan merasai pengalaman luxury environment or you know resort.
Yes, and the other great thing about Nusa Dua is that they there is it's built along a big long structure of bridges.
Yep.
It's a toll road. And the locals don't tend to use it. Their incomes are very low in Bali.
Yeah.
They don't like to pay the toll for the road.
Right.
So the old road that used to run from the airport down to Nusa Dua would sometimes take an hour to an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the toll road, it's only 15 minutes. So yes. you get onto the vehicle out of the airport that the resort provides. They'll give you a nice cold glass of jamu, beautiful tonic drink made of ginger and turmeric.
Okay.
And you're on your way. 15 minutes later, you're in that resort and having the experience of your life. So in one of the world's newest and greatest resorts.
Greatest resort, yeah. Okay, itu dia sedikit pengenalan mengenai Apurva Kempinski. Jadi soalan untuk bawa keluarga bercuti di sana ya kepada anda yang berada di Perth ni. Only what 4 hours flight?
4 hours flight. I think if you left tomorrow. And the other great thing is the amount of carriers that we have from Perth to obviously get to Bali.
Yeah.
It's a very popular destination.
Mm-hmm.
We travelled with Malindo Air, actually the co-share Batik Air.
Batik Air, yeah.
And absolutely fantastic. I think what I loved about the experience was that attention that they paid on Tom. So he was made to feel very special. And that made me relax. As a parent, I was travelling with Tom on my own,
mm-hmm.
and the way that he was treated and looked after and made to feel special, great meals, great entertainment packages for him. They had great conversations with him as well, mm-hmm. enabled me to relax and have an enjoyable flight. So I couldn't rate highly enough Batik Air and Malindo Air for the very child friendly environment that they're able to create, and the support, and I think they have a genuine love of children.
Mm-hmm.
There were other children on the flight that seemed to be having a similar experience.
Yes,
It wasn't just because Tom had a big smile on his face.
Uh huh. Yes,
he was
big smile. You can see there.
He had a wonderful experience, and I think the part of that experience starts with how you travel, isn't it? It's not just about the destination. It's how you get there.
Okay, yep.
For all of us, if we have a good flight, that makes a great difference with all of our travels.
Yep.
Never just about the destination. It's how you get there as well.
How to get there. Yeah, yes, yes. Wow, that is really interesting experience of Bali and Apurva Kempinski, ya, dengan menaiki Batik Air, ya, dari Perth, lebih kurang 4 jam perjalanan penerbangan ke sana. Dan what's next? I mean, after that?
All right, let's go a little bit further.
A bit further, yes.
We'll go a little bit further. Let's take a long-haul flight this time.
Yep.
Now, I guess when I was growing up on a Sunday night in Narrogin, a little country town, we didn't have a lot of television channels around in those days. At Sunday at 5 o'clock, The Wonderful World of Disney would come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some of the shows, but what I remember most were the opening credits. And those opening credits were the songs like Zippity-Doo-Da, Zippity-Yay. I remember all of those wonderful songs. And I also remember in the opening credits I would show some of the rides from Disneyland in America, the teacup ride and all these sort of things. And you used to wonder as a kid, wow, what that would be like to be there. And with Disneyland now being built in Europe and in Hong Kong and I think in Japan as well, Tom and I had the opportunity to go, right, let's go up to Hong Kong Disneyland and see what it's like. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone deep within them somewhere has a on their bucket list to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Now, my sort of bucket list with it was based on nostalgia and being a bit sentimental, whereas for Tom, it's all about that new world that Disney, I guess, as a broader conglomerate now has with the Marvel Universe, and they have Star Wars and those things as well. It's a lot more CGI and a lot more high-tech than the Disney sort of nostalgia of my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Hong Kong had always sort of been a bucket list destination for me as well. I've always been fascinated by the fact that it was a an English colony and then handed over to the Chinese in the late 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful to get up there. And we did spend some time going on the Star Ferry across Victoria Harbour, which just for a couple of dollars anyone can do, and is a great way to see all of Hong Kong to get on the water. It's actually something I love doing whenever I travel, is just to find a boat somewhere, wherever you are, just get on a boat and to enjoy that. And those Star Ferries are very old. They chug along. They're not fast.
Yeah.
They're old girls of the sea. And just for a couple of dollars, just to go across to Kowloon, and we walked around there for a few minutes and just caught the ferry back. Ah. And then we explored a few markets there. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few markets that are in the sort of laneways of Hong Kong. So Tom was very keen to get to the toy market,
mm-hmm.
where he sort of negotiated a few good prices on some toys.
Yep.
And I was pretty keen to get to the Cat Street market, which is sort of renowned for its communist memorabilia, little statues of Mao Zedong and posters of workers holding up shovels and telling us all to work harder and those sorts of things. It was very quirky, very different, and I came away with a little brass statuette of Mao Zedong, which was what I wanted to take away. But you could also buy his little red book of communist phrases and all sorts of things. So that was something we just thought we'd do for a day before we got to Disneyland.
Okay, yep.
And Disneyland itself, absolutely spectacular. Couldn't rate that highly enough as an experience that I think all ages can enjoy.
Okay,
It's one of those great places where everyone can have fun. I would definitely, as a big tip, we've all got smartphones these days, download the Disneyland app because that will tell you the waiting times each ride.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
And particularly if you're traveling with little legs, then you want to be able to work out where to next.
Yeah.
And you might not want to go to that next ride because on your app it says, well, you're going to be waiting an hour. So you can buy special passes to beat the queues and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But that app really helps you plan your day as you work your way around the park as well.
Is it enough for one day to spend in Disneyland, or you need a couple of days?
That's a great question. I think one day is enough for Hong Kong Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the other great tip is a very low-tech trip. The high-tech trip is to get the app, but the low-tech tip is to, When you get it, when you're going through the entrance, go to the furthest ride.
Okay.
And then work your way back so that you're not sort of doing as much backtracking.
Yep.
Look at the app as well and check the times, but don't just start at the first ride the you first come ride. To.
Yes, yeah.
So go as far away as you can and then slowly work your way back.
Yeah, okay.
So, but they've got some amazing rides there. I mean, I was I tried to beat Tom on one of the newest high-tech ride they've got is Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is sort of one of those laser game sort of things where you ride through in a carriage and you shoot at various targets.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I was putting my hand over Tom's gun to try and keep his score down, and he still doubled my score by the end of the ride.
Oh,
you can't beat a kid.
No, in the own game, yes. That must be really an interesting experience at Disneyland. The nearest that we got here from Australia is Disneyland Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And easy to get there. I think the other wonderful thing about Hong Kong itself is the ease of which you can get around. Particularly for myself, if I'm travelling by myself or with the whole family, that's okay.
Mm.
But without my wife, if it's just one of my children, then I always have to think, how easy is it going to be to get around?
Yeah.
If it's just me, I can move pretty quickly. But with a 9-year-old in tow,
yeah.
What's wonderful is how easy the public transport system is. Mm-hmm. And they've got trams and taxis. Everything is easy to catch. The the train system works really well.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, even if you stuff up, they're frequent enough that it doesn't matter. It's not like, oh, you know, I've got on the wrong platform and I've caught the wrong train. What am I going to do? I've just lost half a day trying to work out what to do.
Yeah.
There's regular transport.
Mm-hmm.
Works really well. The other tip I'd have if you're going to Hong Kong and you're going to go to Disneyland is stay at one of the hotels within the resort complex. There are 3 hotels to choose from, and mm-hmm. we stayed at the Explorer Lodge, which is sort of jungle-themed,
mm-hmm.
and lots of fun to be had just in the lodge itself. And they also have a big Disney merchandise shop. So rather than buy a lot of merchandise at Disneyland while you're there and having to carry it around with you, maybe do it when you're back at the hotel, spend some time in the shop.
Okay. Duduk dengan hotel di berdekatan di Disneyland lah, jadi untuk dapat dapat jimat masa lah untuk commute ya, daripada nak kena duduk di city centre ke apa ke nak pergi Disneyland tu. Jadi tinggal di situ dan dapat enjoy lah dengan bersama keluarga dan senang lah. Jadi kalau duduk hotel di situ pun nak solat ke apa ke, jadi boleh balik hotel, boleh solat kejap dan sebagainya. How's the food inside the Disneyland itself?
I was quite interested with that because it was... it was mainly Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting very much the American, just burger and fries and hot dogs. I think there was only one place that was really selling the burger and fries. Most of the rest of it was sort of noodle dishes as well.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. There were also just lots of vans around the place doing the snacks, your popcorn and those sorts of things. Hard to avoid the smell of popcorn wherever you're walking in.
Yes.
In Disneyland.
Yes.
The other important thing to remember, I guess, is how we get there. And again, just like going to Bali with those airlines, mm-hmm. Cathay Pacific flying to Hong Kong was another airline that I would now give the big tick for mm-hmm. travelling with children.
Yep.
Incredible opportunities. For me to get lots of relaxation in,
yep.
With the attention again in looking after and supporting Tom. So the in-flight entertainment, not just the TV shows and the movies, which the kids can sort of tune out of, but there are lots of games as well.
Yep.
And the seating is such that you know, Tom could reach forward and tap the screen. A lot of the games were interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So as a full-service airline, that was really good to see that the games really occupy a child's time, particularly on a flight that is long haul. The food, there were good options for the kids. And I always like to go for a walk around the plane, and Tom likes to walk as well. And whenever we went up the back,
mm-hmm.
the staff were very happy to have a chat with him, ask him how he was going, and just generally, you know, make him feel a bit special. And as a parent, that's what you love to see on an airline, and just helps you relax that little bit more.
Yeah. Sounds interesting, and I'm sure Tom had great fun.
Now I just saw that photo that just went up there with Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, yep.
That was something we didn't get to experience, but was quite amazing. We sat there and watched.
Yep.
And it's actually a Jedi training school at Disneyland. So we watched a bunch of little kids put on their Jedi robes and be given lightsabers.
Yep.
And they learnt how to swing a few moves, and then they had to take on Darth Vader in a fight.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. So you could just see some of the kids were just almost just a little bit too scared. But if you do take your kids there, we just didn't have time for it. But if you do take your kids, I'd really recommend that they enroll in the Jedi school.
Where was the photo? Yeah, he's the one. Yeah. Yep,
there we go. and Darth Vader saying, "Oh, you beat me in the fight." So yeah, and the instructor, will help the child. Say, okay, swing to the left, swing to the right.
Yep.
Yeah. You've got to be pretty brave to take on Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That was the height of most of the kids.
No doubt about
it's
that.
A lot of fun.
So that's Hong Kong, all right? What's local? I mean, okay, that's far away. That's being closer to where home is, right. Even though it's winter, it's cold, but some people just like to have a short drive. Where would you recommend?
So, yep, we're in winter here in Perth. And we've got school holidays coming up.
Yeah.
And you want to get away just for a few days. I would recommend head south down that Forest Highway, go past Bunbury, go past Busselton, go just past Dunsborough, and you'll find the Pullman Bunker Bay Resort.
Pullman Bunker Bay.
Which is on Bunker Bay.
Okay.
Which is one of the most beautiful beaches that we've got on our southwest coast. And this resort has an amazing experience. It's built into the landscape. You're surrounded by beautiful bush. So not only is it luxurious, but you also sort of feel that you are part of nature. You have a connection.
Yeah.
Which is really good, because they also have a wonderful experience that you can do with local Aboriginal elders, where you actually do a tour, walking around with an Aboriginal elder, learning about the local flora and fauna in the area. Mm-hmm. So you'll find frogs, you'll find leaves that are used for bush medicine, used for bush tucker, and you actually learn something. Just wonderful to have the opportunity to go and stay in a luxurious resort in the southwest, only 3 to 4 hours drive away, but also do a very genuine, very authentic Aboriginal experience by wonderful Aboriginal elders who are just so enthusiastic about communicating their heritage. And we do struggle sometimes to find those opportunities.
Okay, yeah.
To have a genuine Aboriginal experience.
Yes.
So here's an opportunity to have a bit of luxury in the depths of winter and have a very genuine and authentic Aboriginal experience. Well.
Yeah, yeah. The photos that is being displayed now, is that the guide?
That's Nina Webb.
Yeah.
And also behind her is the general manager, Leighton Yates, for Pullman Bunker Bay. Mm-hmm. And in the foreground is a little lad that we've come to love through the various experiences we've talked about this evening. That's my son Tom. So what Nina is presenting there is a book that anyone who does the tour gets given.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about the different flora and fauna, and you can fill it in the book as you come across it as well.
Right.
So you actually take that with you, and it helps sort of further your knowledge and understanding of the area and what it means to local Noongar people.
Right. So how many days would you recommend to stay at Pullman Bunker Bay?
Well, that's a really good question, because what do you want to do in that area? Do you just want to sit in a wonderful resort like that and recharge in the depths of winter? Or you're only minutes away from Caves Road, that wonderful stretch down to Margaret River with wineries to the left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take the time, as much time as you want, to relax down there.
Yeah.
If you just wanted the Pullman Bunker Bay experience, maybe just a couple of nights. Just have a couple of days, a couple of nights, and then have the easy drive back to Perth. I think sometimes a quick short break is just what we need.
If you
wanted a little bit longer, then you would take the opportunity to go a little bit further afield. You would leave the resort during the day and, and tackle a few of those wineries or a few of those microbreweries. Maybe check out some of the beaches as well. If you're into surfing, then it's obviously one of the best spots in the world as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
for a winter escape, two nights, a couple of days, and you'll feel on top of the world.
Yeah, the facilities there is... where do you think of the facilities? There are swimming pools and got
yeah, they've got an amazing swimming pool. I can't remember the temperature it kept at. It's an outdoor pool, but it's warm.
Okay.
And you can hop in that pool, and you are looking out over Bunker Bay itself.
Right.
Which, from that pool, is still less than 5 minutes walk away. To walk through the resort and over a little bit of dune, and you're on the beach. So you've got the opportunity. And I notice, within the last couple of days, the first whales have just been spotted. So that's something else you can do down there. You'll often see from the beach, whales having a bit of a rest in Bunker Bay before they head south again. So you can either watch for them on the beach or you could do a whale tour. Else you could do.
Yeah, you can actually go from Bunbury.
Depart
from Bunbury. Yep. Okay,
So the whales have just started arriving down there, so that's something else to maybe look forward to over the coming weeks, particularly as we come into school holidays. Pretty cold out there on a boat doing a whale tour at the moment. So you can come back to Pullman Bunker Bay, sit by the warm fire in the reception area.
Yep.
With a nice red wine or something else that can warm the belly. And a wonderful opportunity just to get away.
Wow, that's amazing experience. Yeah. Pullman Bunker Bay. Yeah. Bunker Bay ni ada sebab selatan. Yeah. Is it near south of Bunbury?
So you go past Bunbury, past Busselton, and then you get to Dunsborough.
Dunsborough.
And then you head to where the lighthouse is.
Cape Nasturis,
And it's on the way there.
Jadi dalam lebih kurang 3 jam perjalanan ya, 3 jam perjalanan ke selatan Perth. Jadi inilah resort yang telah dicadangkan oleh rakan kita ni Chris Perry, Pullman Bunker Bay.
Yeah? And if we think about as well, just how important it is in our lives to have things that are Instagram worthy.
Yeah.
Pullman Bunker Bay. You'll come away with so many opportunities to do your social media posting.
Yeah.
With that beautiful beach, the beautiful resort, a wonderful, genuine and authentic cultural tour. Mm. So lots of opportunities to get some credibility with some selfies and Insta-worthy posts.
Yeah, di tempat tu ya, di Dunsborough, kawasan Dunsborough tu pantai-pantainya begitu cantik, begitu indah. Untuk mengambil gambar dan post dalam Instagram untuk posing-posing, want to post, make nice post and you know, especially for those influencers out there who like to promote their page or Facebook or Instagram profile. So that's a really amazing experience. The three destinations: Bali, Apurna Kempinski Bali, Disneyland Hong Kong, and Pullman Bunker Bay, right? So where next? What's your next plan?
Where next for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's probably going to be part of Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping to get to Sarawak,
Sarawak
sometime in the next couple of months.
Now,
one of my clearly stated demands for Sarawak will be to catch up with a Rafflesia flower.
Rafflesia,
Rafflesia. Sabah a few times and been up to Ipoh.
Yeah.
And we just keep getting there a little bit too late. They've died. Really hoping that if I can get up to Sarawak, I'm going to make that number one on my list. So I think there's a lot of history up there that I'm interested in, and also the natural wonders.
Yes.
But really, I need to see one of those stinky flowers.
Oh, okay. Is that part of your assignments in your part of your job? They go there and try to write some promo.
Yeah.
On that? Yeah.
Yep. So in conjunction with Tourism Malaysia and Tourism Sarawak, so we're just sort of trying to put together an itinerary at the moment to help try and promote Sarawak as a destination for Australians.
Uh-huh.
Pretty easy to get to. At the moment, I don't think there's a direct flight, so it's go up to KL, maybe encourage people to stay at KL for a night or two and then go across to Sarawak.
Yeah, otherwise you can fly from Singapore or from to Kota Kinabalu.
And then go down.
Well, it's Yeah, Sarawak is big. Is a big state, similar to probably WA here.
And
in Australia,
I actually
so
just watched yeah. last night. Mm-hmm. I watched Venom.
Okay.
The yeah. Marvel.
Yeah,
movie.
Marvel. Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot more enjoyable than I thought. I thought it would be a lot more scary, particularly for my children. But it was very enjoyable. But there's actually Sarawak scenes in there. Very surprised.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
well,
yeah, there's some scenes in. Of jungle and
yeah.
also the airport as
okay.
well. So I thought that was very unusual.
Oh, all right, okay.
I always it's one of the things I love about my travels is where movies are filmed.
Yeah.
You know, going to those sites.
Go to the sites, yeah. Like for example, like Game of Thrones, Ireland is
yeah.
his hot destination now, and then
I think that, and that's something we can maybe talk about another time as well, is that. That influence that movies and pop culture have on our destination.
Every destination. That's an interesting topic.
Why we go to places, you know, from the books we read and the movies we see, wanting to go to those
wanting
places.
Wanting to go there. Yeah. Well, so when are we going to be? You're going to go to Sarawak?
Well, hopefully in July, maybe August. So
right.
Only another few weeks away.
Not that long.
And then I can escape a bit of this Perth winter.
Well, yeah, July is the peak winter.
The jungles of Sarawak. That would be wonderful.
Well, yeah, the jungles of Sarawak and probably the Longhouse. That's a must.
Yes.
Must be experience and see how they live over there. Okay, cool. So thanks a lot, Chris, for the sharing.
What a great opportunity.
For the recommendations atas cadangan-cadangan destinasi yang telah diberikan tadi. Diharap para pendengar, para penonton di Facebook Live dapat inspirasi. Hasil daripada perkongsian ya di tiga destinasi di Bali ya Kempinski, Apurna Kempinski, Disneyland di Hong Kong Disneyland dan juga Pullman Bunker Bay ya di tiga tempat ini yang telah dicadangkan oleh saudara Chris kita dan bulan depan atau bulan Ogos akan ke Sarawak dan mungkin kita boleh jemput we can invite you again to tell your experience in Sarawak. Are you going to bring Tom in this trip?
I think I'll do this one on my own. I think he needs to spend a bit of time in school.
It's good. Isn't that a school holiday? Yeah.
Two international trips in one school term is enough, I think.
Yeah. Probably next time, yeah? Okay, kepada pendengar, terima kasih kerana mendengar siaran ini dan juga menonton siaran Facebook Live, ya. InsyaAllah kita akan ke udara dari masa ke semasa dan insyaAllah bulan depan kita akan ubah sedikit format radio yang mana kita akan ada buat jemputan-jemputan lebih banyak jemputan seperti ini dan kita akan keluarkan topik-topik yang lebih menarik untuk pembincangan untuk para penonton boleh menelpon kami di sini dan memberi pandangan. Okay, jadi terima kasih kepada Chris. Thanks again. Thanks a lot for your time.
Terima kasih. Okay. Selamat malam.
Selamat malam dan kepada pendengar, selamat malam. Assalamualaikum.